Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair second quarter 2015 financial results call on the 27th of August 2015. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections of other further-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks and associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Systemair's second quarter 2015 results conference call. On the line with you, we have Mikhail Shamonin, President and CEO of Systemair, Sevalid Rozanov, Senior VP and our CFO, and myself, Evgeny Chuikov, Head of Communications. You can find a presentation of our results on our website at systemair.ru, and I will now turn the call over to Mikhail for his opening comments. Mikhail, over to you.
Thank you all for joining us today to discuss Systemair's second quarter and first half financial results. We finished the last half of this year with a strong financial position at the corporate center level. We have also made good progress across our portfolio companies and have some promising projects in our M&A pipeline. As previously announced, Systemair has received an additional 12.9 billion rubles as part of a second agreement with Ural Invest. As a result, at the end of the second quarter, our liquid cash position stood at 24.3 billion rubles, with an additional 34.1 billion rubles booked as other deposits and financial instruments. Furthermore, after the reporting period, we received 20.3 billion rubles in dividends from our subsidiaries. Systemair is therefore well positioned to build on a strong investment platform in the Russian marketplace that is currently undervalued. The group's financial results reflect the health of the business across its portfolio companies, despite the challenging market environment. Systemair's revenues increased by 10.8% year-on-year to 164 billion rubles in the second quarter of 2015. In the first half of 2015, we grew our revenue by 13.9% to 334 billion rubles. This double-digit growth reflects the consistent delivery on our strategic objectives and our ability to quickly respond to any changes in the market. MTS, RTI, Deskimir, and Segezha Group have contributed significantly to our success this quarter and to our year-on-year growth dynamics. Furthermore, practically all of our assets, except for SSTL and MTS Bank, achieved positive OEBD. MTS is maintaining its leading position in the Russian telecoms market and is also delivering the highest growth rate in the data segment. MTS introduced a number of strategic initiatives to respond efficiently to changing market conditions, including relations with retailers, particularly with Sviznoy. By developing its own retail network, MTS is building a platform for independent growth, and it enables MTS to transform current market trends into unique advantages and an even stronger leadership position. During the second reporting period, we also finalized structure of our high-tech assets. Envision will be acquired by MTS for just 5 billion rubles in cash. The enterprise value of Envision Group is estimated to be 15 billion rubles, including debt. I want to stress that this is a value-accretive deal for both companies and all the concerned shareholders. As a result of this transaction, MTS will become the only operator in Russia to own a billing system and will be able to decrease the churn rate resulting from inefficient billing solutions. It will also deliver MTS with savings of approximately 1.5 billion rubles annually through cutting margins of the external suppliers, around 15 to 20% and decrease operating expenses by 7 to 8 billion rubles, transforming them into capex. Secondly, MTS will be able to introduce its new tariff plans and develop its billing in the most effective way. This is a significant advantage in the current market conditions, with competition intensifying among telecom players. Our retailer, Detski Mir, continues to pursue its expansion strategy and opened 17 new stores in the reporting period. It delivered like-for-like growth of 17.9%. Like-for-like traffic increased to 6.7% compared to 3.8% a year ago. As a rapidly growing business, Detski Mir is strengthening its logistical infrastructure and has constructed a new warehouse. The new 70,000 square meter warehouse will help the retailer to increase its gross margins by centralizing its delivery process and help it obtain more preferential rates from suppliers. It will also allow Detski Mir to achieve higher sales turnover and reduce its cost. Our Indian subsidiary, SSTL, yet again reported significantly reduced OIBDA loss, which amounted to less than $10 million in the second quarter, while its share of non-voice revenues exceeded 55%. 6 out of 9 circles of operations achieved break-even. As announced earlier, discussions with ERCOM on the potential merger of our assets in India is ongoing. This is quite a complicated process, but we hope we will be able to provide an update on our discussions in Q4. The group's banking asset, MTS Bank, is now preparing to recapitalize. Thus, if approved by shareholders, intergroup subordinated loans may be converted into ordinary shares, which will increase the bank's Tier 1 capital, while the deposit insurance agency is prepared to provide around 7 billion rubles for recapitalization of Tier 2. The key positive aspect I want to highlight here is that the total capital increase comes at no cash cost to Sistema, but will support our banking business and provide sufficient resource for positive turnaround in 2016. As a long-term investor in domestic businesses, we continue to actively explore investment opportunities in Russia. We are predominantly focused on existing sectors in our portfolio and on mid-sized deals that can add value to current assets. We have several such deals in the pipeline. If complete, they will be excellent bolt-on acquisitions and help diversify our balance sheet even more. Some offer excellent restructuring potential. I hope we can tell you more on each case when those discussions complete. However, looking at our pipeline in general, we remain of the view that despite the tougher market conditions, investments that we make now will deliver superior returns. Assets are cheap and there is less competition. So if a strict compliance to financial discipline is maintained, exciting deals can be brokered in this current market. We hope we can deliver some of them in the coming months. I will now hand over the call to Всеволод Розанов to discuss our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail just mentioned, we delivered a solid set of results in the second quarter, demonstrating healthy business development across our portfolio investments. In the second quarter, we generated a double-digit year-on-year revenue growth of almost 11%, which was mainly driven by the performance of MTS, consolidation of Segija Group, successful results at Detski Mir and RTI. Our newly acquired pulp and paper business delivered strong operating results. OIBDA grew by 28% since the fourth quarter of 2014 due to the restructuring of the business and export sales of Segija Group, which account for around 54% of the total Segija's revenues, representing natural currency hedge for the group. The group's adjusted OIBDA remained largely stable quarter on quarter and year on year, with operating growth at our non-public assets offset by a decline at MTS and MTS Bank. The group's consolidated SG&A remained at the first quarter level and increased by only 4.4% year on year in the second quarter due to the consolidation of Segija Group. We continue to demonstrate our improved efficiency, with the SG&A to revenue ratio decreasing year on year from 22.1% to 20.9%. RTI's SG&A to revenue ratio reduced from 22% to 16%. Detski Mir's SG&A to revenue ratio reduced from 30% to 28%. SSTL's SG&A to revenue ratio was down from 53% to 35%. At the corporate level, we are committed to cutting our SG&A expenses by approximately 30% in 2015, and we reduced them by 38.9% year-on-year in the second quarter. Overall, corporate center SG&A didn't exceed 3 billion rubles in the first half of 2015. Turning to our debt and liquidity positions, we would like to note that Standard & Poor's agency raised its outlook from negative to stable and confirmed BB level, which is only one notch below sovereign rating of Russia. The group's total debt position decreased quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year to 480 billion rubles. The group continues to focus on ruble-denominated loans, bringing total share of such loans to 62% of total debt, compared to 58% in the previous quarter. The group aims to lower its debt in foreign currencies and gives its preferences to ruble-denominated loans when considering refinancing. What's more, to secure volatility risk, the group actively manages currency risk by keeping group cash balances in foreign currencies, as well as hedging of future ruble cash flows. In the second quarter, Sistema hedged ruble dividends from MTS in the amount of $200 million, which was closed on the last days with a decent profit. The corporate center debt was slightly higher compared to the first quarter and amounted to 9.1 million rubles, of which 86% now takes the form of long-term loans, compared to 51% a year ago. The debt at the corporate level is largely public, consisting of euro bonds denominated in the US dollars and ruble-denominated bonds. In the second quarter, the share of dollar debt was 38%, compared to 43% in the previous quarter. Our liquidity position at the corporate level in the second quarter of 2015 was strengthened by the financial assets received from Euroinvest on the additional agreement. As of the end of the reporting quarter, we had cash position of 24.3 billion rubles, including highly liquid financial assets, and 34.1 billion rubles in long-term and short-term deposits. Together with 20 billion rubles of dividends received from subsidiaries in the third quarter and available credit lines in the amount of 40 billion rubles, we are in the strong position to capture opportunities on Russian M&A market that is currently undervalued. Today, Sistema Board of Directors approved a registration-exempt bond program with a total worth of up to 100 billion rubles. The maximum maturity of registration-exempt bonds to be issued under the program is 3,640 days from the first day to issue. This program will give Sistema flexibility and promptness of decision-making with regards to future borrowing. The approval of the program does not necessarily mean that Sistema will issue those bonds. It's just another instrument supporting financial power, which we can use any time now. More detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results, and individual company breakdowns is available in our presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you all for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you, Chevalet. I think we can now turn to questions and answers. Operator, can you please poll all the participants?
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause while the participants register for a question. We just take our first question from Alexander Vengranovich of Octrite Capital.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side. So first, on your M&A pipeline, could you please elaborate a little bit more on the industries which are particularly interesting for you currently? And can you please also comment on what size of the potential transactions are you considering? So are you looking at a couple of like small and mid-size, or you're looking at the big companies? And the second question is probably on SSTL. I know that you can't comment on the progress, but can you please maybe tell us what sort of a like, maximum timeline of that deal we should look at? I mean, is there any sort of the timing for that transaction? Or there is nothing you can share here so we can get better understanding of when the deal could be finally closed. Thank you.
Could
question.
Thank you for your questions. On the first one, mainly our pipeline is concentrated around the industries where we are present today, and mostly around areas which we believe we can deliver a quick cash return using the existing economic situation, including opportunities which are presented now with the ruble devaluation and the reduction of certain imports into Russia. Particularly agriculture is a sector where we are looking quite actively for a number of potential transactions, I would say mid-size, within $30-$70 million type of range. We're looking at some of the pulp and paper assets, also including, you know, to increase our forestry or timber base. We're looking at private medical care. We're looking at potential retail, number of opportunities. So sectors where we believe we can receive very quick kind of cash-on-cash return. And the second question on SSTL, of course, we don't have kind of any firm timelines, except one, which is in 2016, we do not see us investing any more cash into the Indian business, including supporting the operations or anything. So basically, the internal benchmark for us, no new cash for Indian business in 2016.
But currently, SSTL is still loss-making company. So how can you ensure that you're not investing more cash? Because as far as I understand, the company will not be break-even by the end of this year. Or you've done all the necessary investments and it has enough cash to support operations before the transaction is closed?
I would say taking whatever means necessary to ensure achievement of this goal. All the means, no exceptions.
Okay. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Ivan Kam of VTB Capital.
Mir, good afternoon. Two questions, please. Firstly, on this commuter stake monetization, do you consider that still or it's more likely pushed back maybe into the next year or later? And then secondly, So of the 8.8 billion rubles that you recognize as a fair value for additional compensation from Euroinvest, you say that only 3 billion rubles is cash and deposits. I was just wondering what is the rest and what is the likely recovery ratio of the of those funds. Thank you.
Kimir, nothing has changed. We're still planning to monetize a stake. We're not putting it off 2016. We have negotiations in the final stages with two potential investors. We have term sheets signed with both of them. Due diligence is coming to an end, and we expect deals or a deal to be signed definitely before the end of this year. Of course, if everything goes as planned, but so far, it is moving according to plan. And on the Ural Invest and the money, I refer to Vsevolod.
Kyle, on the 8.8 billion rubles from Ural Invest, 3 billion is cash, and the remaining part is the long-term deposits. The nature of our relation, basically, the nature of the rights which we receive is the rights to the title for the deposits which were placed by Euroinvest. Most of these deposits are long-term deposits which are going into 2016 and some are even in 2017. Hence, deposits which are longer than 12 months definitely cannot be characterized as cash or cash equivalent.
Just a quick follow-up. Can you tell us in which banks those deposits are?
There is a number of banks there, actually more than 20 banks. All of them are solid federal or, say, regional banks. Most of them are so-called system kind of important banks. And in the most cases, we don't see any immediate risk of the depositing money there.
Thank you.
question comes from Denis Derschkin of Bank of America.
Yes, thanks a lot for the presentation. I have one follow-up question on SSTL, if I may. Is there any progress on option restructuring? If yes, that would be great to have some update on that. And second question, more technical one. I've noticed that your EBITDA margin for Siegeja Group dropped below the guidance that you've provided on the last conference call. As far as I remember, it was around 20%. So the reason is quite obvious, that was a fixed volatility, but could you provide us some kind of, some sort of sensitivity of EBITDA margin to FX so we can forecast second half EBITDA margin more accurate. So that would be great. Thanks.
Let me take the initiative on the put question. Since the last call, it was only 2 months. Like 2 months has passed, and these are mostly summer months, so there is nothing which we can report as a report to the public. So discussions are going on, and we believe that towards the end of the year we will be able to reach certain formalities.
Yeah, and on Siegeja margin for the second half, if possible.
It really does not make sense to be commenting on the margin of Siegeja on the quarterly basis. I think we should be looking at that on the annual basis once the 2015 is over. We'll have a better picture, because there is too much volatility now with ruble dollar rate, you know, exports. Competition is changing, and then everything else. You know, I think the goal to have a margin around 20% is a reasonable goal. We're trying to aspire to it, but let's give it some time and see where we end up.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Evan Tindall of Valentine Capital Management.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I just had another question on the settlement from Ural Invest. So you guys originally said you were owed $48.7 billion, including accrued interest. So does that mean that you guys are still should be getting that $36 billion ballpark, 36 billion rubles?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. My second question is, how are so you guys said that Detskimir took some aggressive pricing actions, with the average ticket was up 7%. I was just wondering how that compares to the pricing strategy at MTF. You know, I know inflation looks like it's about 15% in Russia, and I was just wondering, are you guys taking up pricing on new contracts at MTS, or how do you guys think about that? Hello.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just not sure I understand the question correctly. Your question is, Detskimir is dumping on the price. Whether MTS is planning to do the same?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how MTS handles inflation. Like, are you guys raising prices or not?
No, Detskimir and MTS are two different cases. Detskimir, in fact, is reducing its pricing, and Detskimir is keeping the lowest price in the market. And the reason Detskimir does that is because by doing so, he pushes out smaller competitors out of the market. And once the crisis is over, Detskimir is going to be the only player standing with a much more significant market power. And from that perspective, Detskimir's strategy is completely justified. In the case of MTS is already working on a market which is well established. with very strong players and competitors, and MTS cannot act alone. If MTS is start, you know, raising prices, then competitors, if they don't raise it, they would take up market share, which MTS would not be able to win back. So the whole telecom market is not really raising prices, and you know, whether the market altogether decides to start raising prices is at this point unclear. I think at some point it is logical that this should happen because equipment and capital investment is mostly dollar denominated because Russia does not produce telecom equipment. It is being imported from, you know, China and Europe, which is hot currency, right? But it hasn't happened yet. And you know, for me it's difficult to predict how the market is going to behave. MTS alone cannot drive the market. It's got, you know, 35% market share, but not a 100% market share.
Okay, great, thanks. And just one more question. Would you guys ever consider selling MTS Bank if it continues making losses, or are you guys determined to turn that around no matter what?
Well, we've mostly turned it around already. You know, I should say we are reducing operating expenses dramatically. We've made our kind of risk and loan selection criteria much tighter than we had it before. You know, we stopped almost entirely retail lending for kind of off-the-street customers, and we only lend now to customers who are either, you know, MTS customers or customers who have history with MTS banks, you know, banks sitting on the payroll projects and so on and so forth. So I think we've significantly reduced the risk in the bank. Now, on the other hand, we do have a significant portion of Sistema-owned accounts and deposits in MTS Bank, and in situation as volatile as it is in the Russian economy, I think it, from the security perspective, makes sense to keep those funds in the bank that you control. So for now, we don't have plans of selling a controlling stake in this bank, and we believe that the risks in the bank have been managed, and we will not see any problems the size that we've seen last year in the bank.
Okay, thank you.
As a final reminder, please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question today. We will now take our next question from Igor Goncharov of BCF Group.
Yes, thank you very much. Just one clarification question on the SSTL. When you said that you do not plan to inject more cash in SSTL this year, do you also mean that you would not be guaranteeing new debts that SSTL might take on its own balance sheet? Thank you.
No, there is no any intention to take any new debt on the SSTL balance sheet, and definitely it's not part of the... It was not considered like a measure.
The goal of the management of Sistema, no new cash for SSTL in 2016, whatever it costs, even if it means just turning off the switch and not sending any money this way, and whatever happens, happens.
On new cash from Sistema or no new cash from
anywhere? No new cash from anywhere. No new cash from Sistema, no new cash from banks, no new cash, no new cash.
But that would mean that the SSTL would have to become free cash flow, at least break-even in the second half of the year.
Either SSTL becomes break-even, or we do the deal, or if nothing like that happens, we just switch off the financing, and if it goes belly up, it goes belly up. So be it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you. I think we're ready to wrap up this call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a very good day.
To conclude today's conference call, thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.